Hello, everybody, again. Are you guys awake today? Amen. Why don't you give someone next to you a high five real quick? Amen. Hey, before I start, let me remind you that we have a marriage retreat coming up in a couple weeks. We have 87 spots left, and we have to hold those rooms until tomorrow, and then we have to release those rooms if we don't have people sign up for them. So we'd hate for you to wait till next week and us not to have a spot for you. So if you haven't signed up, sign up today, tomorrow. You can go out in the lobby, get information. You go to online to Marriage Getaway and sign up. Especially, the marriage weekend is one of my favorite weekends because it's just all couples, no kids. And it's just good to be out away from town with your woman or your man or whoever you're with. You know what I'm saying? And it's a good way to rev up your marriage, which is actually the theme. But also, if you're having trouble in your marriage and your marriage is on the brink of disaster, we've had many couples come out there, and they already discussed divorce. It was a last resort to save their marriage, and God has done amazing things. So we want to encourage you, if you're there, please let us know. We would love to get you out there. And if your marriage is on the brink and you can't afford it, let us know. We want to get you out there. And so if you could sign up today, if you know somebody, sign them up and gift it to them. But we have a bunch of rooms that will hold until tomorrow. But we, you know, this is one time a year. Just take advantage of the opportunity to get alone and focus on your spouse. Amen? And besides, Palm Springs is nice and hot. It's like 120. We usually have it out there, so we... you know, we want to help people understand what hell is like. So people usually get saved, you know, and those kind of things. I don't want to go to hell, so it's a really good time. Praise the Lord. Let's see your Bible today. Say word. Very good. One more time. We'll say word. Very good. Let's see your pens. Lesson plan. Let's turn to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. Matthew, Mark, Luke. I think that's the order. Isn't that the order? Of course. Lord, thank you so much for your faithfulness. Thank you so much for your goodness. And thank you for being a good God to us. And we pray you bless us today. And Lord, we just want to take a moment to thank you for right now. We don't know what's going to happen in an hour. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We thank you for right now. And Lord, I pray for the people who are carrying a burden they think is too heavy for them. I pray you encourage them today. I pray you teach us more about who you are. Make it clear to us who you are. And for the skeptics, we pray you convince them who you are, what you are, what you're going to do. Thank you for your word. Answers all our questions. In Jesus' name, amen. Whenever there is a crime anywhere in the U.S., around the world, there is usually very quickly an investigation. Everyone say investigation. And when they do an investigation, they look for witnesses, all kind of witnesses, expert witnesses, there's character witness. But there's nothing like an eyewitness. Everyone say eyewitness. As we continue the series called Jesus Dilemma, we're going to hear the testimony of a Jesus eyewitness. An eyewitness that knows more about Jesus than any man or human has ever known. It's the demons. The demons. The demons, I believe, have, and Satan, I believe, have the most credible testimony about who Jesus is. Now, we know that demons and the devil are liars. That is true. But we also know they know stuff we will never know. And they've seen stuff we've never seen. So let's just go back to the beginning. Job chapter 38 says the devil and the demons were angels created before the foundations of the earth. Lucifer actually means light bearer. Lucifer was the highest angel. Lucifer got in his head that he wanted to be God. He got kicked out of heaven. Revelation chapter 12 says that he got kicked out of heaven and he took a third of the angels with him who are now demons. And Jesus says in Luke 18 that he saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. And so Satan comes down, he takes a third of the demons with him, a third of the angels with him, and they are now demons. Demons are fallen angels that were in heaven. Demons can possess people, as we've seen in the Bible. I have actually seen a couple of people demon possessed and pray for them. Pray for a young girl who was 12, 13, and four men couldn't hold her down. And then, you know, a few minutes later, she was walking around like no big deal. Demons can possess people. Demons can cause suicidal thoughts in people. If you're suicidal, doesn't mean you're demon-possessed, but I promise you they're speaking to your head. Demons are more powerful than people. Acts chapter 19, seven brothers were overtaken by a demon-possessed person and took their clothes off. They ran away naked, just overpowered them. They're very strong. Demons can cause illness. They can cause blindness and mute, all kind of ailments. In the Bible, we see that. So demons are very evil, but there's one dilemma that they have. They have taken a permanent stance to oppose God. They are liars. They are murderers. Their sole purpose is to discredit God and take as many people to hell with them by lying to us about who God is and about deceiving us and causing us to want to live for self. It's all about me. I'm going to get mine, which is the complete opposite of living for Christ. Living for Christ is I'm going to live for him. Satan wants you to live for yourself. Those things are diametrically opposed to each other. Now, when you live for Christ and you serve Christ, you end up benefiting more than you can ever benefit by living for yourself. If you say, I'm gonna get the best I can get for myself, go ahead, knock yourself out. And God will let you. He will let you ruin your life. But when you really find out that God, the devil can never give you what God can give you, or when you realize you can never get for yourself what God can get for yourself, then you turn to Jesus and all of a sudden he showers you with all the stuff you always wanted, which, by the way, is not necessarily material. Because I don't believe people really want material things. We want peace and love and happiness. We just think those material things are going to get it to us. We think a lot of women or men or whatever is going to get it to us because that's what the devil tells us. But if we just surrender to him. So the demons are diametrically opposed to God, and they hate you and I because we are God's image. When the devil sees you, he sees God's image. What's ironic is that when we see ourselves, we don't see God's image. When we see other people, we don't see God's image. When the devil sees you, he sees God's image. He sees the potential of the glory of God in people. And so he can get people to self-destruct. He can destroy the image of God. That's why he wants you to self-destruct. That's why he pushes you to be greedy and addicted and self-destructive and attacking other people like animals, because he wants to destroy the image of God. But what these demons know is they know who Jesus is. How? They were created before the earth was created. They saw the creation of the heavens and the earth. Boom, they saw God said, "Let there be light." Boom, let there be stars in heaven. Boom, let there be animals. Boom, they saw that. They worship God in heaven. They know who Jesus is. They know how powerful he is. They know how glorious he is. So here's their dilemma. They know it's all true. And yet they've said, we are going to fight you to the death. They know they're doomed. And so what we're going to hear today is their own mouth say who Jesus is. Now you might say, well, if they're liars, why should we believe them? Well, when you get a witness and you put them on the stand, there's sometimes the ways when you put their hand on the Bible that they end up telling the truth most of the time. Jesus has a very supernatural way of making crooked things straight. There is going to come a day, no matter what all of us believe or think, that we will confess truth. Because truth, righteousness will in the end win. In the end, all of us will be corrected. And what I mean by that doesn't mean we're going to be righteous. We'll be corrected and we will confess, yes, Jesus is Lord, because it is an absolute fact. It will be an absolute confessed fact. The Bible says one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord, because we'll have to. And so we're going to see this confrontation with the demons. They have no incentive to confess Jesus Christ because that's who they're fighting against. They have no incentive to affirm what he says. They have no incentive other than they are compelled by the truth. And so let's read in chapter 8, verse 26. By the way, let me say this. There are a lot of people who have taken the position of demons. What do I mean by that? Is that you have taken the position, my life is about me. I am in control. I can do what I want. I will get away with what I get away with. You have taken the position of demons. The devil will never tell you, at least in the beginning, that he wants you to serve him. He's going to tell you a bunch of other stuff because he's a liar. So he'll tell you, serve yourself. He'll tell you, you deserve this. You deserve better. Why they do that to you. Those Christians this, the Bible this. And he'll tell you anything that will get you to convince you to turn your back on God. But his ultimate desire is to kill you. And his ultimate desire is to go where he's going, which we're going to see in a minute. And so I say that to say that once you realize what these demons are confessing, you need to decide, do I still want to obey them or do I want to break allegiance with them? Now, I don't think anybody would say, I'm a demon follower. No, you wouldn't. You wouldn't. Of course, you wouldn't. But anytime you are a Christ rejecter, you are a demon follower because there's no middle. Anytime you're about, well, I got my own religion, demon follower. We're going to see in a minute, demons, one of the things demons do in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, they create false doctrine. They're very good at, you know, almost being true. You know, anything that's 99% true and 1% false is false. And so the demons will just get, you know, they got all these religions. Hey, yeah, they believe Jesus Christ is the Savior. They say they're Christian, but not really. That little not really is hell. That's a dangerous not really. So let's read the story, verse 26, chapter 8. It says, they, Jesus and his disciples, sailed to the country of the Gadarenes, which is opposite Galilee. And when he stepped out on the land, there met him a certain man from the city who had demons for a long time. And he wore no clothes, nor did he live in a house but in tombs. Okay, here's a guy who was walking around naked living with dead people. Now, the Bible says the penalty of sin is death. That means what demons incite you or influence you to do will always, 100% of the time, result in death. Eventually, you will die and go to hell, the death being hell, or you will destroy your opportunities in life. You will destroy relationships. You'll destroy your health. You'll destroy your income. Something is going to die. At the beginning, it may not. You may start getting a lot of good stuff happening in your life because it's all about you. Look at any cops show, lock up. All those criminals, there was a point where they thought they were doing it. We were in St. Lucia two weeks ago. We were having breakfast at this guy's house, and he lived on the water on this little bay. And right across the bay was this big house. I mean, I'm guessing 8,000 square feet right on the water. And it was seized by the government. It was a drug house. They had boats. At least they were in the past, they had boats and cars. And there was a time where those drug dealers had it going on. And God was saying, it's just a matter of time. Just a matter of time. So here's this guy walking around naked, living with dead people. Ew. This is demons. This is what they do. Okay? And then it says in verse 26, verse 28, this one verse almost says the whole message right here. When he, the demon-possessed man, saw Jesus, he cried out, fell down before him. In Mark chapter 5, it says, he worshiped. Everyone say worship. He worshiped him and said with a loud voice, what have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me. Hold up. Let's say I'm the demon-possessed person, okay? I'll be the demon-possessed person. I'm not going to get naked and go live with a tomb, but I'm just going to... I got my purple shirt on, okay? And I'm running out, and I'm in the tombs naked, doing whatever I'm doing in the tombs of dead people and bones, and Jesus comes, and the first thing I do, the demons, is Jesus, Son of the Most High. They ain't none of this. Yo, what's up with you, man? What you going over here? Ain't none of that. You ain't really God. None of that. Worship. Number one in your notes. Oh, big time. Demons consider Jesus worthy of their worship. So should we. The demons, why? They know exactly who he is. They were in heaven worshiping him. And in their own pride, they left heaven and came and now they're down here with pigs in tombs. If demons consider him worthy of worship, so should you. Now, worship is a response of respect when the truth is revealed. How many of you ever seen a sunset and the sun's going down? I love sunsets. How many of you love sunsets? Okay. It's fire. It's fire. That's it. It's a ball of fire. I mean, when I say that's it, it's a beautiful ball of fire. It's 93 million miles away. Boom, 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 boom. But when the sun sets, especially if you go on by the beach or to where there's a restaurant, a bunch of people on the beach, when the sun sets, everybody stops and they will look. You know what I'm talking about? Then the sun goes away and everyone just goes about their business. That's worship. That's worship. You were saying that is beautiful. Guess who put that sun there, God? Guess who designed and created a sunset, God? It's worship. When you see a baby, oh, oh. Protect the baby, do everything. Mom with a baby. Mom with a baby got power. Mom with a baby, get out of the way. Boom, they get on a plane first. They get anywhere they want. I got a baby, got a baby, got a baby. Move out of the way. That's worship. That's worship. If you go to the zoo, one of the reasons the zoo breaks my heart, to see awesome animals God made, Black Panther. Why does it got to be black? You got to ask God. We were in St. Lucia. We were driving up this dirt road, and this little tiny black cat was walking up the road to us, and the driver said, little baby Black Panther. That's a joke. Y'all missed it. But you see it. You see a Black Panther, you're like, whoa, that's worship. You are honoring the Creator for creating something so stunningly beautiful. It's worship. When you see your Bible, what do? Ooh, it's God's Word. This book is getting less and less respect. This is God's Word. Worship. Do you read it? When you read a word in the Bible, do you worship it by respecting it? This worship. When this demon saw Jesus, no questions. He got on his knees and worshiped. And I wasn't there, but I'm by him doing this, you know what else he's saying? Lord, I made a mistake by following Satan. Because you are worthy of worship. Do you worship him? When we sing, do you worship him? You might not worship like that, as spontaneous like that, when you're supposed to, because you don't know him. You go to church and you equate God to church. You equate God to what people do. You equate God to the music quality, the preaching quality. Wrong. God is way bigger than that. You need to tap into him. Now, our job is to hopefully get you there. But it's not all on us. You got to come with your heart right as well, saying, God, I want to see you. But if you don't worship, not only sing worship, serve worship, give worship, it may be because you don't really know him the way you should. You don't really understand that he really owns everything you have. He really has a plan for your life, that he really is going to call you into account. You don't understand that. But when you understand that he has given you everything in your life and he is everything, you will worship him. Now, how do you get there? Start worshiping him. Start obeying by faith. Lord, I just don't want to serve, but I know I should. I don't want to give, but I know I should. And when you start doing it, the Bible says your treasure is your heart is, not only your money treasure, your treasure of your whole life, all your dreams. When you start putting all your chips on Jesus, all of a sudden stuff happens. Stuff happens. And so here's this evil demon saying, you know, I know I was messing with that guy, but I ain't messing with you. And look what he says. Look what he says. Jesus doesn't even have to say anything. The demon says, what have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? Number two in your notes, demons acknowledge Jesus as God. Jesus acknowledged Jesus as God. Now, You may hear some theologian over here say Jesus is not God, or some cult over here say Jesus is not God, or some other religion. Forget those fools. What are these brothers saying? Because this demon was in heaven. This demon was in heaven. And Jesus has a way of establishing truth. Jesus will bring everything in the world under the rule of truth at some point in judgment. This demon says, what have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of God? I know who you are. I know who you are. In Mark chapter 3, verse 11, the disciples says that every time the demon saw him, they said, you are the Son of God. In Mark chapter 1, verse 24, he says, what have we to do with you? This is demons talking. Jesus of Nazareth, have you come to destroy us? We know who you are. Of course they know who he is. They were created to worship him. They know who he is. No question. You don't have to take my opinion. You don't have to take some other person's opinion. You don't have to worry about what this person says or this person says. Listen to this eyewitness right here. This eyewitness who is a critic. By the way, if you're a critic of someone and you hate someone, it doesn't mean that everything you say is going to be a lie, because you know the truth. That's why you're a critic. There's something about them you don't like. And usually it's what's true. Sometimes it's what's true. You're threatened by him. Here's this demon says, you are the Son of God. Have any question? There it is. Number three in your notes. The demons fear Jesus as Lord over the coming judgment. Here's what demons also know. They are doomed to hell. Put a piece of paper right here. We're going to come back to Luke chapter 8. Turn to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. There is something very interesting about hell you need to know. Matthew 25. The first thing about hell you need to know is that it's real. The lake of fire. The lake of fire. I don't know if you've ever heard the term the bottomless pit. You know what's interesting about a bottomless pit? Is that if you have a circle like an earth, a ball like the earth, if you go into the earth and you fall down into the earth, there's no bottom, because once you pass through the middle, you're going up again. What's interesting about that term, the bottomless pit. But look what it says in chapter 25, verse 31 to 46, it's a story about Jesus talking about serving the least of these. And he says, if you serve the least of these, you serve me. If you don't serve the least of these, you didn't serve me. And then he says, you will be cast into hell that was created for the devil. Why is this important? Hell was not created for you and me. Look what it says in verse 41. It says, let's look at verse 40. It says, the king will answer and say to them, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. Then he will look to those on his left and say, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Then we'll say fire. Hell is real. Hell is fire. Hell is eternal. But hell was not created for you. In San Diego, 1 year, 318 rapes. San Diego, 1 year, 41 murders. 377 suicides. More than one person a day kills themselves in San Diego. More than one person a day is convinced that death is better than life, and they kill themselves in San Diego. In the world, 16,000 kids a day die of hunger. A day. Every year, 800,000 people are forced into the sex slave trade. 50% are children. You can read stats like that all day long. The devil, he is a strategic, calculating, evil mastermind. He will convince you to do self-destructive things to yourself, to people you love. And you will tell them you love them, then you will do destructive things to them. He is evil. And what is ahead for him is punishment. It's called justice. Justice. Justice is a God concept. It's not a man concept. God created justice, and God will administer justice against the devil for everything he's done. And it's called hell. You and I do not want to go to a place designed to punish the inventor of rape, murder, and child molestation. We don't want to go to that. That's an evil place. Matter of fact, can you imagine if God said to you, I'm going to give you 2 hours to design a place that would punish the devil? You could come up with a pretty nasty place. Can I get amen? God got you beat. Hell is going to be a horrible place. But as we read, it is not for man. It's for the devil. And the only people who will go there are the people who rejected Jesus' salvation. Because the Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the penalty of sin is hell. The penalty of following the demons is hell. The penalty of rejecting Christ is hell. So here this demon is telling you, but what he says to Jesus is that he is the Son of God and he is the one who's going to punish us. Jesus, don't punish us now because we know it's coming. So many people don't realize it's coming. And by the way, this same demon, you know what he's telling you? The same devil's telling you? You ain't going to hell. There's no consequence. Don't worry about it. Do your thing. That hell stuff ain't going to happen. We got even preachers now saying there's no hell. Well, the demon's saying there's hell. Well, something wrong with that picture. He's telling you one thing, yet he's admitting another. Oh, it's real. And brother man, Luke, he knows. Turn back to Luke chapter 8. This demon knows. Luke chapter 8. Let's read verse 28. Luke 8, verse 28. Same verse. It says, when he saw Jesus, he cried out, fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, what have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High? I beg you, do not torment me. And he commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for it had seized him, and he was kept under guard, bound with chains and shackles, and he broke the bonds and was driven by the demon into the wilderness. He broke the chains. Why? It wasn't his strength. It was demonic strength. Jesus said, what is your name? He said, Legion, because many demons had entered him. And they, the demons, begged that he would not command them to go into the abyss. They said, please don't send us to hell now. Now, why God does what he does when he does is way over my pay grade. Why didn't he send them to hell right away? I don't know. You got to ask him that. There's a time for everything. Can't explain it. But look what it says. Verse 32, they were herd of swine feeding on the mountain. And they begged him that the demons begged him that he would permit them to enter him, and he permitted. Everyone say beg. Yes. Say permit. Yes. Who has authority here? Jesus. Who has authority here? Jesus. One more time. Who has authority here?
Jesus.
Stop believing the liar then. Stop believing the liar. Telling you the liar. Satan and his demons. You can do what you want. You don't got to do this. You don't got to do that. Stop believing him. They obey him when he tells them to do something. Now, am I saying everything his demons do are at the leadership of Jesus? Absolutely not. Matter of fact, that's what the Pharisee says. You're the leader of the demons. He said, no. They have a leader called Satan. He organizes them. Ephesians chapter 6, they got him in ranks. But when they come and encounter with Jesus, it's all, okay, there's a new sheriff in town. Okay, look what it says in verse 33. The demons went out of the man and entered the swine, and the herd ran violently down the steep place into the lake and drowned. Look at number 4 in your notes. Demons submit to his word. When he tells them to do something, they got to do it. Now, why wouldn't he tell them to do, just go away? I can't explain it. I don't know. He's got a bigger plan. He's got a bigger plan. But let me tell you, in the end, it will all be corrected. In the end, he will make everything right. If demons obey Christ and demons are evil, if demons worship Christ and demons are evil, what about us? Here's your dilemma. You could be following demons. The demons are admitting to you that Jesus is who he said he is. They're admitting to you that they have to obey him. They're admitting to you that they are going to go to hell. Yet they're telling you something completely opposite. That you can live for yourself, do what you want, and get away with it. It's a lie. Remember, they're liars. They're liars. And so the question you have to answer, are you going to be like the demon, which by the way, and reject him in theory and go to hell? Or are you going to do what the demons can't do, which is repent? You have an opportunity. to say, you know what? I want to repent. I don't want to follow them anymore. This is the beautiful thing about being human, is that God has given all of us an opportunity to break with the demon philosophy of life, which is all about me, and to live for him. What does that mean? That you accept and acknowledge that you are a sinner, which the Bible says all have, that you accept and acknowledge that Jesus is Lord, and that you surrender your life to him. And you look at your life and say, you know what? Look at all this death in my life. There are some of you in here, you have death in your life. It's like addiction. It's like broken relationships. You are covering for lies every day. You can't. It's like tomorrow, man, I got to deal with all this stuff I did. Stuff I said, stuff I did, stuff I didn't do, stuff I wrote, all this deception in my life, and the demons are just beating you down every day, wearing you out. And by the way, they want you to self-destruct. They want you to self-destruct. Jesus is saying, if you know the truth, that I love you, Jesus, and I want to forgive you, the truth will set you free from all that lie. And so in a minute, we're going to pray. There are some of you who have never asked Christ to be your Savior, but there are some of you who are Christian and you are walking in a lie. In other words, you're doing your own version of Christianity. You go, you read when you want, you go to church when you want, you give what you want. It's all about what you want because it's your Christianity. And God says, I don't think they know me. I don't think they know me. Because if they know me, they would be all chips in. So, for you, I want to challenge you to also to pray with us. To say, I don't want to believe the liar, these demons. It's so subtle. But let me tell you, them seeing Christ and falling down in worship, there's nothing subtle about that. Ain't nothing subtle about that. But what they tell you to do, don't bring your Bible to work. Don't pray. Don't do anything overtly out in the open. Be subtle. Be private. Be politically correct. When Jesus come back, he ain't going to be asking you Democrat, you Republican, he ain't going to be taking prisons. He's going to say, okay, everybody who worship me, over here. And there are going to be people going over there. Well, it's your right. Everyone who worship me to the right. Everyone who didn't worship me to the left. And there's going to be people on the left going, what about me, Jesus? Nah, you never really knew me. But I went to the rock. I said, word, every time. I even liked the purple shirt. I wasn't against the purple shirt. I wasn't hating. I know there were some people hating, but it wasn't me. And you're going to say, you know me. You know me. Lord, thank you so much for your faithfulness. Lord, thank you for having authority over everything. Thank you for the testimony of these demons that were angels that worshiped you and who know you. And Lord, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would reveal truth to people listening right now. I pray that they would acknowledge the lies in their life that have been destroying their life, the subtle lies that cause them to compromise in their relationship with you. I pray they acknowledge how little they really do worship you all day, every day, with every area of their life. And I pray they realize it's a result of them not really knowing you as good as they can. It breaks God's heart to see lukewarm people who are not on fire for truth. He is the truth. He's the way, the truth, and the life. Don't let the devil and the demons deceive you subtly to think that you're okay being lukewarm. You're okay cutting corners, compromising. Jesus desires truth in the inward part. If you are ready to worship him with your life, to be a person of integrity, to be a person of humility, to surrender everything to Christ, pray this prayer. This is for people who have never asked Christ to be their Savior, and some of you who You would say you're a Christian, but you know you're holding back. You know you're compromising. Pray this prayer. In the privacy of your heart, pray, dear God, I surrender. Dear God, I surrender. Jesus, forgive me. I want to be holy. I want to be cleansed. I want to be committed. I surrender. Eyes closed, heads bowed. If you prayed that prayer for whatever reason, just stand to your feet. Don't worry about anybody around you. Don't let the devils deceive you, trick you. Stand to your feet. God bless you. God bless you. Some of you are Christians in here. You've been Christians for a long time, and you know the devil has just lulled you to sleep. Complacency rules your life. Stand up. Anybody else? God bless you. We see you. We see you. God bless you. God bless you. Stand up. Anybody else? Anybody else? God bless you. Very good.